Open your Bible to Luke chapter 2. We're continuing through our look at the themes of the Advent season. We have looked at hope and peace, and this morning we're looking at joy. And the key verse that we'll be looking at primarily is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But I'm actually going to read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20 to start and provide us the full context of what is commonly referred to as the Christmas story. This passage here that we look at in Luke chapter 2, we'll read the first 20 verses. It says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." So this is Luke's account of the birth of Christ, the announcement of the birth of Christ to the shepherds, and then what they find as they go into Bethlehem. And as I said, our key verse that we're going to look at, we're going to focus on, is verse 10. And if you look in verse 10, again, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" So we notice three things, first of all, about what the angel says here. First, notice the angel begins with, "Do not be afraid." Now, this is understandable, right? If you think about the circumstances here, what's going on, these shepherds were out in the fields, right, keeping watch over their flocks by night, as the song says. In other words, they're doing their job. They're going about their day-to-day responsibilities of watching sheep, making sure the sheep are protected. If anything is on their mind, it's doing their job, right? They're certainly not envisioning that they're about to receive a literal messenger from God. And yet all of a sudden, an angel appears in heaven. That would prompt fear in me too. I suspect for all of us, if we're going about our day-to-day duties and all of a sudden an angel appears, I'm going to be a little shocked, maybe fearful, especially at first because you're like, is this a good thing or not a good thing? Is this angel here to give me good news or am I in deep trouble? And so the angel says, "Fear not." And then secondly, notice that the angel tells them why they do not need to be afraid. He says, "Fear not, because, or behold, I bring you good news." The Greek word that's here, good news, is the same word from which we get the word gospel. Right? When we talk about the gospel, that is literally the good news. But here, this Greek word is a verb. And if we were to actually translate it literally into our English, the angel is actually saying, "I evangelize to you. I evangelize to you." And what is it that the angel is evangelizing to them? That's the third thing. What is this good news? It says, I bring you the good news of great joy that will be for all people. This is news for everyone. Now, the angel is specifically speaking here to the shepherds, but he says, what I'm about to tell you, this is for everyone. This is not just for you. It's not just for a small, finite group of people. This is going to be good news for everyone because it is available to all humanity. Now, we're focusing on joy this morning, right? But I want to actually address that last part first, that for all people part. For some of you who were here several weeks ago, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we did the message in everything, and I looked at in Ephesians 5:20, I said that I don't think that accurately is translated when it says for all things, but here this is a different Greek word, and this is absolutely accurate when it says for all people. That Greek word means every or all. And really it means, it's actually on the idea of looking at one piece at a time and all the pieces collectively assembled into a whole. And so what the angel is saying here, right, I'm evangelizing to you great news that is available to every individual person and all collectively together as the whole of all humanity. Every human being makes up the individual parts and then collectively the whole, and this good news is available to every one of them. So what is joy? That's first of all what we need to understand as we look at this passage. Why does the angel say this is good news of great joy? Why not just say it's good news? Why add this of great joy part? Well, I've mentioned a couple times in recent weeks as we've been going through these themes of Advent that joy is a word that we see a lot during this season. Even in secular places, you'll see the word joy during the Christmas season. But more often than not, it's referring to happiness. It's referring to something that's making us happy during this season. The fun, the festivities, the music, the parties, the presents, the eggnog, you know, whatever it is that gets you excited, we feel good. And that's not bad, and that's not wrong, and that's certainly a part of biblical joy. But the happiness that is usually what the world has in mind when they use the word joy is conditional, right? It stems from being in circumstances that are pleasing to us. But this joy, biblical joy, goes beyond happy circumstances. It's not circumstantial. It's a delight that transcends the circumstances we may be in. Certainly we can have joy in the midst of happiness, but biblical joy we can have even when we don't feel happy, because it transcends our circumstances. Ultimately, it comes from the knowledge that God is the cause and the source of our joy. R.C. Sproul explains it like this. He says, the key to the Christian's joy is its source, which is the Lord. If Christ is in me and I am in him, that relationship is not a sometimes experience. The Christian is always in the Lord, and the Lord is always in the Christian, and that is always a reason for joy. Always a reason for joy. If you are in Christ, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are always in Christ. So we always have reason for joy. We know our sins have been forgiven. We know our eternity is secure. We know what our future holds, even if in the moment we're going through trials and difficulties. And this is a great definition of joy that we have here, because it also provides us with an insight into why this angelic announcement in Luke includes these words, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And so I want to spend the next couple minutes kind of taking that apart. So first thing, notice the good news part. All right, now thanks to a ubiquitous advertising campaign, many people in the United States equate good news with saving 15% or more on car insurance. Well, this certainly goes way beyond that, okay? That is not at all what the angels are referring to. Good news really is any news that's pleasing to the recipient. In some translations, in this verse here in Luke, instead of good news, say glad tidings. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. And it's simply the idea of telling someone something that produces good feelings. The good news results in a pleasant emotional response. And we can understand the impact that news can have on us even physically. If we think about some of the idioms, some of the expressions that we use to describe getting news. First, let's think about the negative aspect, right? When we receive bad news, things that make us sad, news that we didn't want to receive, it may result in slumped shoulders, frowns, even tears. And think about some of the expressions that we use for receiving bad news, right? We say things like, my stomach dropped, or that hit me hard, or my heart stopped, right? We're referring to a physical response to receiving this news. Now, those things don't necessarily literally happen, but they allude to the way that our body responds to getting bad news. But the inverse is equally true, right? When we receive good news, it can cheer. It can result in a smile. It can result in clapping. It can result in literally wanting to jump for joy. And this news that the angels are here giving, this announcement, is simply the angel telling the shepherd, what I'm about to tell you is going to thrill you. Because this news I'm going to give you, it's going to make you feel great. Right? So good news is the first thing. Secondly, the angel says, this is news of great joy. And that Greek word there for great is the word from which we get our word mega. And so the angel's basically saying, I'm about to give you mega joy. Right? And you think about how we use mega. We use it to basically describe like really big, right? A mega mall or a mega church or the lottery's got mega millions or, you know, mega is huge. And so the angel's saying, I'm going to give you good news because this is mega joy. This is like big time, shepherds. Brace yourselves for what I'm about to tell you because this is major, major news. Listen to what John Gill says in his commentary about this. He says, this great joy is not carnal, but spiritual. It's not feigned, but real. It's not temporary, but lasting. Even such as cannot be taken away, nor meddled with, not small, but great. Even joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then the third thing here, the angel, the third element of this announcement is why it's such good news. The angel says it will be for all people. We've already kind of referenced this. No one is excluded. No one is ineligible. No one is good enough, but that's actually part of the great news, is even though we're not good enough, we're eligible because God, through his love, extends the offer to everyone. So what exactly then is the good news? We don't want to just focus on the fact that the angel says, I'm about to tell you great news. Okay, but what is it, right? The shepherds at this point are probably like, come on, what is it? So what is the great news? Well, verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The word for Savior there, it's the Greek word soter. It's where we get the word, the big fancy theological word, soteriology, which refers to the study of salvation. But notice the specificity and the immediate relevance of this announcement, right? The angel, what the angel's telling the shepherd here is not about something that's going to happen way in the future. He's not saying, there's some really great news that you have to look forward to. No, he's saying, I've got some great news for you right this minute. First thing he says, unto you is born this day. The Savior's already born. It happened today, he says. Where? In the city of David. Right there, right? The shepherds are in the fields outside of Bethlehem, and he says, right there in that city, the Savior was born today. And that's the third part. It's not just any baby that's born. It is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's a deliverer, the promised one, the Messiah has come. Remember some of the prophecies that we've talked about, right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, unto us a child is born, a son is given. The angel is here to say, it happened. This prophecy you've learned about from old, it happened today, right there in that city that you probably woke up in recently. Remember what the angel told Mary. If we were actually just to turn back maybe a page or two in your Bible to chapter 1 of Luke, the angel tells Mary, look at verses 30 to 33. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And remember what the angel told Joseph. If you want to turn back to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel appears to Joseph and says that Mary will bear a son and you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. That's this great news that the angel is saying. The angel is not appearing to say, hey, guess what, some lady had a baby in a stable. That's not news from Mega Joy. The mega joy is that the baby that was born is the promised one, the Messiah, who's going to save his people from their sins. And this is good news for everyone. Now, I'm not going to go to all the different references, right, for the sake of time. I'm not going to direct you to each of the different passages in Scripture that we could look at for what I'm about to say. But if you would like to know exactly where you can find all these references, feel free to talk to me afterwards. Why is this such great news? Why is this truth here that the Son of God is born? Why is that our source for joy? Why should that bring us this joy that transcends even bad circumstances we may find ourselves in? Well, we think about the truth of what the Scripture tells us. The Bible tells us that God is perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He demands the same thing. And every one of us misses the mark. We don't measure up to God's standard. In and of ourselves, we fall woefully short. Romans tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter how far short, right? You may say, well, I got closer than you did. It doesn't matter. We're not close. We're all falling short of the sin of God and of the standard of God because of our sin. Because of that, the only thing we in and of ourselves are qualified for is eternal separation from God. That's not good news. This is where the good news comes in, though, and that in spite of that, God loves us so much. He loves humanity so much. All human beings are created by God in the image of God, and he loves his creation enough that he provided a way that we could be with him for eternity, even though we fall short. God sent his son, his only son, to earth in human form. That's what we celebrate with Christmas, the birth of God in human form, to live a human life, a perfect human life. That's what we celebrate with Christmas. But then he died a human death, a painful, excruciating death that he didn't deserve to pay for wrongs he never did. That's what we commemorate with Good Friday. But we also know that he's not dead. Scripture tells us that he rose again 3 days later. That's what we celebrate with Easter, that he is alive and he is seated at the right hand of God. Just this past week, I was doing something else entirely. And I'm sure none of you have ever had this experience, but some kind of an ad came online when I was doing something, and it was for a t-shirt that just caught my eye, and so I looked at it, and it was a t-shirt for atheism. And this is what it said. Maybe some of you have seen this ad, I don't know. But the t-shirt said, across the top real big, it said, "Atheist." And then underneath that it said, "Because God sending himself to sacrifice himself to himself to save us from himself is a little bit much for any logical person." Now, we could debate some of the specifics of that wording, right? You may say, well, some of that maybe is not 100% accurate. It's a little bit skewed. But the reality is they got it pretty much right. That is what God did. God sent his son, who was also fully God, to pay the penalty that we owe to satisfy God so that we could be with God. And they're also absolutely right when they say it's a little bit much for any logical person, because from a human standpoint, it makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. From a human standpoint, we look at it like, yeah, right, sure, that doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to believe that. But that's exactly why it's such incredibly good news. If it was logical, if it made sense, would it be a big deal? God's love for us is beyond all human comprehension. It blows our mind, frankly, to try to make sense logically of what God did, of how much God loves us. But it's not meant to make sense from a human perspective. If it did, it wouldn't require faith. It was God's incredible mercy for us that's what the angels are proclaiming, right? That's what we see. Look in verses 13 and 14 back in Luke chapter 10. Suddenly, the one angel is joined by a host of angels. It says there's a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Listen to what Matthew Henry says about this verse. He says, let God have the honor of his work. Glory to God in the highest. God's goodwill to men, manifested in sending the Messiah, redounds to his praise. Other works of God are for his glory, but the redemption of the world is for his glory in the highest. This is the greatest thing God ever did. He sent his son to pay for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be in a relationship with God. The birth of Christ, our Savior, is the source of our joy. And if we have Christ as our Savior, it's why we can have joy even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of difficulties, even when life is not going great. We still have this truth. We still have this good news of great joy for all people. Paul sums it up pretty well in a very short verse that appears in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 15, this really should be the response from every one of us. Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We can't explain it. We can try. We can do our best. But we can't fully explain, precisely because of what that t-shirt said, because it makes no logical sense. That's why it's such incredibly good news. God loves us. God sent his son so that our sins might be forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you so much for the gift of your son. And it does defy all human comprehending. It doesn't make logical sense. And that's why it's so awesome. We thank you that we can celebrate the gift of your son. We thank you for the reminder of this season about the real reason for Christmas, about the real source of our joy. It's not just presents and fun times of celebration and some time off of school or work. It's a celebration of what the angels told the shepherds, that a Savior was born in fulfillment of prophecy to save people from their sins. This morning, I pray that if there's anyone here who's not accepted that gift, anyone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, maybe doesn't understand what salvation even means, I pray that they would make the effort today to find out what it means, to understand the good news that the angels proclaim, to receive the gift that you offered us through your Son, that Christmas might have a whole new meaning for them as they realize what it's really all about. Thank you so much for the privilege of being your children, of knowing our eternity is secure, that we will be with you, and that therefore we have joy unspeakable, full of glory, even in the midst of our darkest days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You'll take your hymn books. We're going to sing number 161, Our Day of Joy is Here Again. So you stand with me, please. Number 161, Our Day of Joy is Here Again.
And song, come let us join the angelic strain with voices clear and strong. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King, peace, goodwill with all. This holy Christmas tide, when darkness lay upon this earth, a glorious light did shine. God sent a gift of priceless worth and showed his love divine. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King, peace, goodwill with all abide this holy Christmas tide. Now to the manger let us go to worship and adore the tender babe upon the straw, our Savior evermore. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King, peace, goodwill with all abide this holy Christmas tide. How wonderful that God's own Son should so himself abase. He thrust the mighty from their throne and gave the lowly grace. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King, peace, goodwill with all abide this whole the Christmas time.
Sounds like we have to learn a new song today, huh? Father God, we thank you and we praise you today for the miracle of your Son's birth. We thank you for bringing great joy into the world, for giving us the assurance that because your Son came to us in human form, that all who believe in him can know with absolute certainty that we will spend eternity with you. Amen.